And we will go into a, just a work session on 769. We're going to bypass Senate Bill 540 for today. We've got some new amendments out, and it looks like we have some work going on that, so we'll bring that back. So I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 769 and would ask Ms. Hannon to, or did you wish to? Perhaps just for the record, you can explain a little bit of what you've done here, and I'll have staff introduce you in a minute if you would.
I think I might. Catherine.
Yes, you have a guest with you. That's fine. Feel free. Go ahead and why don't you review it just for everybody.
Real brief. Thank you, Senator. Senate Bill 769 requires the Department of Education to conduct an annual survey of all Oregon schools, children with type 1 and type 2 diabetes, and report results to the Health Division. Requires physicians to report newly diagnosed cases of diabetes to the Health Division, and then specifies that the Health Division compiles information and maintain the anonymity of the child. This bill is heard on April 4th, and we do have dash two amendments which are attached to your package.
I'll get my package here real fast. Go ahead, that'd be fine.
Okay. Senator Bill Fisher, Chair, members of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. My name is Dixie Hannon, legislative aide to Senator Len Hannon, and thanks again for allowing me a second opportunity to come before the committee. I just want to kind of summarize a little bit of what happened in the public hearing on the April the 4th. The impetus for Senate Bill 769 came from a group of Oregon stakeholders whose lives revolve around juvenile diabetes. The stakeholders range in age from just a few months old to young adults. Their children with juvenile diabetes, their families, friends, teachers, and the medical community. Juvenile diabetes, unlike most childhood diseases, will not go away with time, nor with medication, nor a change in lifestyle. It is no respecter of persons, and there is no cure. To find a cure, researchers, as I said in the other hearing, must find the cause. And to find the cause, you have to find the common denominator. And to find the common denominator, you have to have a repository from which to gather data. To date, the true number of juveniles with type 1 and type 2 diabetes is unknown, but clearly on the run. Data remains fragmented. Senate Bill 769 is the vehicle which creates a repository for data. The Health Division has been extremely cooperative, indicating a need for the data and a willingness to make it work if given the directive. And I believe the mechanics of Senate Bill 769 can be worked out in cooperation with the Health Division and the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. The Dash 2 amendments that you have before you actually remove the Department of Education from the picture and establish a database within the Health Division. So, are there any questions?
Do you wish to address the issue also?
I just have one point of clarification,
sure.
If I may. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Could you identify yourself, please?
I will be glad to.
Thank you.
My name is Catherine Cowan, C-O-W-A-N. I'm a volunteer board member and state leader for government relations for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And I'm also the parent of a 10-year-old girl, Lindsay, who has had diabetes since the age of 4. And she was here several weeks ago to testify. The one point of clarification, if I may, is with regard to the type of information that physicians will be reporting to the Division of Health under this bill. The intent of Section 3 of the amended bill is to make diabetes for children ages 18 and younger a reportable disease by physicians to the Division of Health, both as to one newly diagnosed children, but also, secondly, children who already have been diagnosed with diabetes as of the effective date of the bill. Data on newly diagnosed children will enable the division to track the so-called incidence of pediatric diabetes. Data on the already existing population of children with diabetes will enable the division to track the prevalence of diabetes. It's the combined data from these populations, which is essential to building a meaningful database, that will enable the state to ascertain the extent to which diabetes is impacting its children.
Okay. Thank you. We're in work session, and I would
Mr. Chairman?
Entertain.
Move the dash two amendments.
Senator Carter has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 769. Is there further discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Carter.
Move Senate Bill 769 do pass as amended and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Carter has moved that Senate Bill 769 is amended, be moved to the Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Yes, sir.
Further discussion? Objections? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Messerly?
Aye.
Senator
Ford? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Shields is excused. So we will close our work session. Thank you very much for coming down. I hope we got you out of here. Time to meet some appointments I believe you had shortly.
Thank you.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 769 and open a work session on Senate Bill 568. Staff, bring us up to date on where we're at.
Thank you, Senator. Senate Bill 568 eliminates the requirement that a pharmacy post a sign advertising to patrons that a less expensive equivalent drug may be available for substitution to fill prescriptions. It requires a prescription to be labeled with the name of the medication or as instructed by the prescriber. This was first heard on February 23rd. We do have dash one amendments, which in essence restore language that requires pharmacies to post signs regarding the possible availability of less expensive medications. And these amendments are attached.
Okay. Do we have
one condition thinking?
Ask Tom Holt to.
Chair Fisher and members of the committee, for the record, Tom Holt with the Oregon State Pharmacists Association. As committee staff just explained, what the amendment does is restore language requiring pharmacies to post a sign informing people that generics may be substituted for brand name medications. That was a provision that some folks found objectionable in the original hearing, and so we put this amendment in, which then leaves the other provision of the bill, which just technically updates our labeling requirements so that a pharmacist may label a prescription as the prescriber intended. The previous requirement was to either label it with exactly what's in it or to not label it at all, which presents some technical problems in certain special situations.
Okay. Yes, I still don't like the preliminary staff measure summary been attached to this because it turns it around and makes it look like the pharmacist is trying to get out from something instead of trying to let people know that they may not be getting the brand name that they had thought they might be getting and was required to let them know that a cheaper substitute might have been placed in its place. And so I don't know if it's possible to have that statement changed, but I would like that for the record. be made known that this was not an attempt by the farmers to get out from something. It was just the fact that they figured that everyone should know by now that that was a common practice to replace brand name drugs with generic equivalents. I'm guessing that there was major agreement for both sides on that. Okay. Yes, we're in work session, and I want to entertain a...
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
Move the dash one amendments.
Senate bill moves the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 568. Okay. Further discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
Move Senate Bill 568 as amended to the floor with the best recommendation.
Senator Carter moves Senate Bill 568 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Excuse me, I was hearing none. Will the clerk call a roll?
Aye.
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 Aye. And Senator Shields is excused. The motion carries.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since I was the objectee, I don't mind volunteering to carry this bill.
All right, Senator Carter will be the carrier, and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 568 and open a work session on Senate House Bill 2469A.
Oh, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I just want to know, did you demoted me to being a Senate bill? I took you off the interior.
Oh, I'm sure.
I apologize.
Thank you. House Bill 2469A requires the Oregon Board of Dentistry to recognize valid licenses from dentists and dental hygienists in good standing throughout the U.S. Requires the board to accept licensure of dentists with less than 5 years of professional experience who have passed any of the four regional exams. Requires Oregon Board of Dentistry to recognize licensure of dentists with at least 3,500 hours of dentistry experience during the last 5 years who have also passed any four regional or state exams. This bill was last heard on March 12. We do have dashboard amendments which are attached, and there is no gross copy, but in short, the dash four amendments restore language that gives Board of Dentistry options to accept national standardized examinations, results of regional testing agencies and clinical board exams from other states to meet knowledge and skill standards for dental and dental hygienists, and then require the board to issue a limited dental license, dental hygienist license to a full-time instructor employed at Oregon Health Sciences University.
Yeah, that gives us a two-for-one on this. We saves us from running another bill through.
Mm-hmm.
Jane, did you wish to register in on this?
Okay.
Chair, Senator
Mitchell. I have a point of clarification. What we're doing here requires them to accept the test, but does not require them to issue a license. Is that right?
Doug, would you like to come and address that, perhaps? I'll let Doug or Joanne, whichever one wishes to.
Let's start with Doug.
For the record, my name is Doug Barber, representing the Oregon Dental Health Coalition. Senator Fisher and Senator Messerly. Question about it requires them to accept the test, but not
issue the issue a license.
Well, there are other steps that would be required before they issue the license. This simply says that they can't require that the dentist, an experienced dentist, retake the test in Oregon. What they can do and will do, and we support them doing, is do an extensive background check on their dental practice and their practice history, and make sure that that's a clean practice history so that we're not, so a dentist isn't escaping from one state to come here when they've got problems in the other state, and that's what we're trying to stay away from. So they will take extensive steps to make sure that the dentist has a clean practice history and is qualified.
Thank you. That's what I want to
follow-up questions.
Yes, Senator Carter.
So Doug, do you guys review the academic challenges, or not, that's the wrong word, the academic experiences that these people have had, and see how equivalent they are with the kind of training or education that they have received in this country.
Senator Fisher and Senator Carter, all of the requirement is that they must be a graduate of an accredited, an ADA accredited school.
So that's the check.
And they must have a license from one of the 50 states.
Okay. The only thing I'm asking you is that in terms of checks and balances, that if the public, if we're going to accept dentists from other countries in this state, giving them the full right and privilege of the licensure that is required by those other dentists who matriculate in this country, will by them having that standing, this institution that they graduated from, having the standing, making sure standing in this case that all of the academic requirements that they have gone through are equivalent to the ones they would have had in the United States.
Senator Fisher and Senator Carter, I think you may be talking about the OHSU piece of these amendments.
No, I'm saying that if...
Our amendments do not allow dentists from other countries to come to...
Maybe I'm looking at the wrong bill.
Oregon. Unless they have a... if there was... Could that happen? If there was a dentist who had graduated from OHSU, currently had a license in New York, but was... and it was still a valid license, but they were living in Europe, could they come back to Oregon? It's pretty rare. It would have to be a valid... they have to have a valid license from one of the 50 states, and they have to have passed... and so to maintain that valid license, they're not going to be practicing unless it was a short-term...
I was only asking you that so you could put it on record to say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't want consumers at risk in the state, and I want to make sure that your organization is saying yes through you, that all of this is checked out. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Chair,
Senator Mesley.
The more we talk, the more questions I guess we raise. I heard you say that if they have a valid license in one of the other 50 states, that they would they could transfer that license to Oregon. Is that right? But how about if they had lost a license in... but they still had a valid license in another state, but they had lost a license in also in another state, a third or fourth state. Would your check go that deeply into it and then open or give our licensing board the opportunity to reject that?
I'm Joanne Bones, the Executive Director of the Board of Dentistry. If I may, Senator Fisher, Senator Messerly, address that issue. This bill only requires that the board consider the applications of the people who have taken various clinical examinations but are licensed in another state. We would still subject them to entire background checks. And if they have been disciplined or lost a license in another jurisdiction, the board would look at that very closely and consider them on a case-by-case basis.
Hold on, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So you have the ability to check all states in, see if they have had a previous license?
Senator Fisher, Senator Messerly, we require them to report to us whether or not they have a license in another state, and we also... do a computerized background check through the National Practitioners Data Bank and the American Association of Dental Examiners, where all disciplinary actions are required by federal law to be reported to the National Practitioners Data Bank, and we do check that ourselves.
Thank you.
Question? Further question?
No.
I think the thing that we were looking at is that it requires the Oregon Board of Dentistry to recognize valid license from dentists and dental hygienists. And so if the license is valid, then does validation include all the intensive, search of records and everything that you do for our own people who graduate in the United States? And that's what I'm hearing that Senator Messerly was asking, as well as what I'm asking.
Senator Carter, yes, you're correct. We would continue to do the same background check that we would do under our current requirement.
Okay. Good. Any question? Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll just recess for a couple of minutes. I think we've already passed your bill out, Doug. We're just going to see if the chair is going to come back.